This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right base. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
On the Fan. McMonagle here with you for a 4 hour Monday morning. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls to get the week started. I was on earlier today, actually yesterday, whatever, the hours go together. I was on at noon on Sunday afternoon leading into the Knick game. And I tried to tell you how important this game was. And I talked about the idea that, yeah, they've been bad against the best teams in the NBA, and now they are now 0-7 after getting beat by the said Boston Celtics, 118-105, and it wasn't that close. But I thought this was a big game coming off a disastrous blowout loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday and what the Celtics have already done to the Knicks. You got word right before the game started that both Hart and OG Anunoby were going to be on the court. They were both going to play. Still no Mitchell Robinson, which I don't know how the hell that would matter in these games. We'll get to that maybe in a little bit, too, at 888-808-1019. But this game, to me, it was important for the Knicks to show up. And I got on the coach a little bit. And I wanted to talk about and I wanted to see a little bit of fight, a little bit of intensity, a little bit of the idea that I'm tired of getting my ass kicked against the Boston Celtics, against the upper echelon teams in the NBA, right? And the three teams that are ahead of them in the championship odds are obviously OKC, the Boston Celtics, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they have gotten their doors blown off by all of them. And the Boston Celtics now have a win, you know, an average point differential of the combined three games of over 60. They have kicked the ever-loving crap out of the New York Knicks. And to me, this story of the game, we can get into a lot of different things. We can get into the run they went on in the third quarter to make it respectable. We could talk about 118-105. We could talk about the injuries. To me, this is a game that starts, and we'll get into all the different elements of it, because I got a real problem, we all do, with Mikal Bridges. I got a real problem with Karl Anthony Towns, who I've been defending, who I've talked about in my mind with this team and how it plays offensively. You can make the argument he's the most important Knick, not the best Knick, because Jalen Brunson's the better player, and he's proven it since I've ever opened up my mouth to suggest even anything close to the other counter-argument. But Karl Anthony Towns and how he plays and how he stretches the floor and his three-point prowess and his presence as a big man on this team, I felt it's as important as anything else, including Jalen Brunson. But you look at the first quarter, because that's where this is. This team needed to come out there and show up and show a little fight and grit. And I talked about all year long, there's going to be a natural comparison to last year's team, because we never got to see last year's team take it to the end. Right, we never saw that completion. We never saw the finality of what that team could have been because of Randall's injury. And then by the end, the amount of injuries that piled up and cost them that series against the Pacers. And so we always will wonder. That team got blown up before we ever got a chance to really see what it was capable of. And I still think this team is more talented, and we'll find out. I still kind of believe that they're better situated to possibly win an NBA championship. But what this team is lacking that team had is guts. Plain and simple. Guts, the ability to fight through screens, the ability to come out and play defense, the ability to hit shots at the beginning of the game. I mean, look at the idea that they went into this game knowing they've been blown out by the Celtics every time they've played, knowing they're coming off an embarrassing loss against the Cavs on Friday night, and knowing the talk around the team, around the fan base, around the NBA, is whether or not they can hang with the best teams in the sport. They've talked about it themselves on their podcast, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart. They talked about this on the podcast after the OKC loss a few weeks ago, about how important that game was, how telling that game was, how much they need to respond after a loss like this. They're aware of what we think of them, the rest of the NBA thinks of them, and that's how they perform in the first quarter, 38-19? And I know the only thing we talk about with this head coach is the minutes, right? That's all we really talk about, because he's done a wonderful job otherwise. We get it. This team has been a disaster for the last two decades. They've had Hall of Fame coaches come in and absolutely run it into the ground in Larry Brown. Like, there's been, nothing has worked forever. So the idea that over the last 5-6 years with Tibbs, it's been the best stretch we've seen in two decades, we can applaud them all we want. And we can talk about, you know, how it's different and the attitude he brings. Well, what attitude do the New York Knicks have right now, other than a failing one and a miserable one? And to start this game in the first quarter, like, Karl Anthony Towns, right? We're going to get to Mikal Bridges. And I know that's going to be the name we all talk about, and rightfully so. When you trade 5 first-round picks for somebody, I heard Lori talking about it just at the end and part of her show, and the 0 rebounds he had in this game. How about you watch him, right? How about the inability to fight through a screen? This I was under the impression this is one of the better perimeter defenders in the sport. Between him and OG and Anobi, the idea that they are as bad against three-point shooting as they are defensively is embarrassing. But Mikal Bridges, his shot's kind of gone right now, and he was awful in this game to start. 6-for-13 from the floor, 2-for-6 from three-point land. He doesn't fight through a screen. He avoids contact. How about rebounds? How about free throws? He is averaging, over the course of the season, 1.1 free throw per game. This is supposed to be the third best player on the team, the third scoring option on the team. He avoids contact in every which way, on defense, on offense. He has been a disaster. You cannot be as important to this team. You cannot be Trey. You can't be worth 5 first-round picks, come here and be afraid of contact. And that's what's going on. 1.1 free throws per game. He doesn't get to the line. He doesn't get to the basket. No Nick does, other than Jalen Brunson and maybe Josh Hart on coast to coast. They don't attack the rim. They don't lean towards contact. They're playing fallback defense on screens. They're not fighting through. They're not getting on top of screens. And I mean, the Boston Celtics just run screens and get open looks constantly. There's been no game plan change. They go into these Celtic games, it's over in the first quarter every time out. Every single game, it is over in the first quarter against the Boston Celtics. 38-19. That's the first quarter. That's the game. Everything else is noise. We could talk about how the bench came in, right? And we've talked about the amount of minutes that Tibbs likes to play the bench. That's really all we talk about. But, I mean, Mikal Bridges goes to the bench. They pretty much bring in everybody except take out. The only starter in there is Karl-Anthony Towns, where they go on a 10-2 run with the bench on the floor. And then Jalen Brunson plays hero for a bit in the third quarter. But this game was never in question. The Celtics never sweated the outcome of this game, ever. And when it did get to a close game, they pulled away real quick. They were toying with the New York Knicks. Toying. And I talk a lot about Karl-Anthony Towns, too. And those are going to be the two guys, Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns. And OG shouldn't be forgotten either, because he's looked slow and tired for a long time, even before the injury. And in this game, same thing. Now, I know he's just coming back from the foot, second of three games here he's played. He's played two of the last three games, just coming back from the injury. He looks slow. He looks like he can't get to the basket. He looks like he can't defend. And Karl-Anthony Towns, like, I'm sorry. If you want to be one of the better players on this team, you want to be a leader, you want to get rid of the moniker of soft in big games against the Boston Celtics, you can't allow yourself to be doubled up 38-19 and have 0 points in the first quarter. He scores 24 for the game and actually leads the team in scoring. Zero in the first quarter when the game is on the line. When the game's being decided, when it's time to show up and show fight and send a message to the Boston Celtics that you're here. Zero. He doesn't score a point until almost 3 minutes left in the second quarter. We talk about the moniker of soft in big games against the Boston Celtics. He has been atrocious. He has not showed up. Mikal Bridges has not shown up. And don't give me the injury stuff, because let's be totally honest. What in the world? I like Mitch Robinson. I do. And I think he can help this team over the course of the year, and he should make them a better defensive team for the most part. What is he going to do to impact their play against the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics? What exactly are we waiting for? Don't tell me they're not healthy. Mitch Robinson coming back is not going to impact getting blown out every time they play the Boston Celtics, every time they play the Cavs. What is he going to do? I appreciate him. He's going to make them a better defensive team. If they were close to the Celtics, I'd have a different opinion. They're not. And this team has a bunch of offensive prowess. There's no doubt. When they're playing their game, and Bridges is hitting his shots, and OG's hitting the corner three, and Brunson's doing his thing, and Karl-Anthony Towns is able to space the floor, and Josh Hart's getting rebounds and getting to the basket and going coast to coast. They've got a bunch of different elements. They've got a bunch of ways to beat you, and they can be an offensive, dynamic team. They certainly can. But what we have seen, when it's time to show up, they don't show up. And that's on the coach. I'm sorry. Like, I can't even remember. And again, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing when they play the Boston Celtics. They take bad shots. It leads to long rebounds and transition offense. And they are just atrocious with transition defense. There's no offensive movement. They play it down to the shot clock. They take a long three. It's a long rebound. The Celtics are on the run. Transition defense sucks. They get easy baskets. Defensively in the half court, they don't fight through screens. They play back. Leads to layups and open threes for the Celtics, who have five shooters on the floor. I can't remember the last time Tibbs off a side out of bounds play, and I've complained about his side out of bounds plays a lot. Either a side out of bounds play or a timeout. When's the last time the Knicks drew up a play and got a layup from it? Like, it's just, and Brunson didn't play great in this game. He did put on the Superman cape for a little bit in the third quarter and drag them back to make it a respectable game for a brief moment, But it never really was. It never really was. And this team's got a lot of talent, more talent than last year's team. And this team, on any given night, could put up 140 and probably could outscore the Celtics if they played 10 times. They'd find a way to do it once or twice. But this team right now, they're terrible in transition defense. They're terrible in perimeter defense. They're not aggressive. No one goes to the basket other than Jalen Brunson. Their third best scorer right now is soft and timid. Their second best scorer and player has been, in my mind, a lot better than I thought he would be and tougher than his moniker of being soft in Minnesota. But we see in the big games here, no shows in the first quarter. I mean, if he actually tries to go to the basket, he bangs up his knee where he needs to be off the court. And here's the other thing about Tibbs. What is he doing at the end of the game? Karl-Anthony Towns is hobbling out there for the last minute and a half of the game. They're down 16 points. It's over. Why are you allowing Karl-Anthony Towns to hobble up and down the court? Take him off the floor. Like, sometimes it's just unbelievable with that. And that's not even what I'm mad about with him right now. I'm almost mocking the stereotypical nature of that's the only thing we complain about, and I see other issues with this coach. But that's staring you in the face. He hobbles off the court. You put him back out there for the last 2 minutes of a blowout? Like, this Knicks team right now, I mean, it's just, they're going to do it. You know, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be a 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. And I said this morning. Or this, a Sunday afternoon. They'll probably play well enough in stretches and have a 5 or 6 game winning streak, and they might even beat a really good team, playoff team. Not the Celtics, not the Cavs or Oklahoma City, but they might beat a pretty good team. They'll go on a run. They'll play well. Karl-Anthony Towns will drop 45, and we'll fool ourselves into thinking this team is capable, that this team could get to an Eastern Conference Finals, that this team could get to an NBA Finals, that this team has the talent and the ability to win an NBA championship. Maybe we'll fool ourselves. Maybe we'll get hyped up. Maybe there'll be a stretch. But we have seen in the first 7 games that they have played the 3 best teams in the NBA, they are 0-7, and the games aren't close. And this team doesn't have what last year's team did. Right? Now, I don't know if Randall and the big ragu, like, I don't know if that team, as much as we love them last year, right? As much as we love them. And I don't know, you know, DiVincenzo and his threes and his big moments and, you know, Randall, I'm talking about getting to the basket. Randall stopped shooting threes and getting to the basket last year. I still think this team is more talented and ultimately better situated to compete for an NBA Finals. But they are missing something inertly important that last year's team had. The desire to fight. And again, I don't care about the injuries. Mitchell Robinson is not saving this team. OG Anunoby was on the floor. Josh Hart was on the floor. The bench came in and went on a 10-2 run. The bench came in and went on a 10-2 run. This was another embarrassing loss and further solidifying the idea that they cannot compete with the best teams in the NBA, and particularly the Boston Celtics, who are long, who can shoot as well as anyone in the NBA, who have five shooters on the floor, who pick apart the Knicks, who feel very comfortable playing the Knicks, who don't get any pushback on screens, who don't, you know, nobody attacks the basket on them. The offense is a pass it around the perimeter, wait for the shot clock to run out, take bad shots, have those long rebounds result in transition offense for the Boston Celtics. I mean, that was the first quarter. And Mikal Bridges is becoming a real problem. You know, you knew it was going to take a little bit of time to transition his role with this team, new team, you know, playing with his former guys and having to find the role for himself. But right now, he's not shooting well from behind the three-point line. He's not playing nearly as good defensively as I thought he was. He's not fighting through anything, and he's afraid of contact. He doesn't ever go to the basket. He never seeks out contact. He's shooting 1.1 free throw a game. This is a guy they're relying on. This is a guy who plays more minutes than anybody else on the team. And to Laurie's point, he didn't get a rebound in this game, and he didn't take a foul shot in this game. He played 28 minutes. He plays more minutes than anyone else on the team. And in this game, in 28 minutes, he doesn't get a rebound and he doesn't take a free throw. Like, we could talk all day about the five draft picks. That's over. And maybe they could flip him. I mean, he's still a talented player. There's always, if it's not working, you could always move on and find something that might help. But here, the issue is, you know, this guy's not hitting his threes. He's not playing defense. He's not fighting through screens. And he's not being physical in any way. And he is running from contact. And Karl Anthony Towns, who I've praised, has not showed up in these big games. And I'm sorry. You want to be a star? You want to be, you know, Mr. Nick? You want to work on your foul shots after a game against the Bulls where you struggled at the foul line and, you know, have it be on TV and, you know, be a starting all-star player for the New York Knicks and lead them to a championship, be that difference maker? When you know that this team hasn't shown up against the Boston Celtics, when you know you got blown out Friday night against the Cavaliers, and you know the talking point around your team is that you're not as good and don't belong in the top echelon of the NBA, and you allow your team to get doubled up 38-19 in the first quarter and you score no points? Unacceptable. And now they'll move on and they'll probably win some games and they'll be a 3 seed and no one will believe that they can get past Cleveland and no one will believe that they can get past Boston because they have given you absolutely zero reason to believe such a thing. In fact, it's patently ridiculous. And I said this yesterday, it's amazing to me that we can actually have this conversation, right? I mean, it's been so many years to just take it for granted they're a 3 seed, to take it for granted that they are one of the handful of best teams in the NBA. It's amazing to me. If you would have told me 5-6 years ago that I'd be talking about the Knicks as the clear-cut third best team in the conference, and yet I'd be pissed off, it's almost some sort of accomplishment that they've gotten this good that I can be annoyed about anything other than actually having a basketball season. But here we are. The Knicks are good. The Knicks aren't good enough. And they certainly aren't tough enough. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your calls. We'll get to St. John's, who's the exact opposite. Who is tough enough. Who does play hard. Who plays the hell out of a defense. And you know what? They're starting to hit their threes. And if they can do that, maybe they are dangerous enough to go cut down the nets. Maybe they are dangerous enough to get to a Final Four. That was the one element, that three-point shot, and they did it against the UConn Huskies earlier Sunday. So we've got that to talk about. The Yankees add another tradition that goes by the wayside. The Mets are dealing with an injury. Who's that last roster spot? A lot to get to. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, but we start with your New York Knicks, 888-808-1019. We'll spin the wheel of quarterbacks at 3 a.m. We'll find another option for the New York Jets, and we'll see if it's as good as Aaron Rodgers. And of course, a lot of talk about Matthew Stafford in the quarterback position, so we can get to that as well with the Giants and Jets.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
129. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 3.5 hours. A little early. So don't be surprised. I was with you yesterday afternoon as well. So I'm around. And I'm watching these damn Knicks play. Frustrating stuff. Frustrating for a team that we had higher expectations of than to be the doormat of the best teams in the NBA. And that's what they are right now. There's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. We'll get to a bunch of different stuff. I don't know if there's a conversation around Alex Rodriguez to be had, but Alex Rodriguez was in camp. A couple of Alex Rodriguez in camp. Roger Clemens in camp. Santana in camp for the Met fan. But I mentioned something about Alex Rodriguez and his number 13 being retired, and man, people hate me for it. So maybe we can have that conversation a little bit later. 888-808-1019, but let's get to the calls now. Jeff in Long Island. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Oh, my God. I could be better. I mean, I'm a long Knicks fan. Never seen them, obviously, win the championship.
Yep.
Love this team. Always been very supportive, but this team here is nowhere near as fun to watch as last year's team. They don't show any heart, and there's a lot of issues with this team. Number one is, how do you give up 5 first-round picks and get Mikal Bridges in return?
Like,
DeAndre Hunter went to the Cavs for less, and he will give them a whole lot more.
Well, and, I mean, as of right now, I mean, you know, Bridges has been a very good player in this league. We're not seeing it right now.
It's been all season long, though. Yeah. I've been waiting for him to come and show up, but I see flashes, and then it just reverts back to exactly what he is. And Karl Anthony Towns, he has got to be the worst defensive center in the league right now. I mean, I'm tired of seeing this guy drop underneath in coverage on pick and rolls and then just get obliterated with threes. He gets lost. I don't know if you remember the play where he actually went to go and pick up the guy on the pick and roll and left Porzingis wide open and then just looked and didn't even attempt to recover. I mean, what are we doing here? This is Tibbs' defensive team? You're not making any adjustments in practice?
Yeah.
You're not making any adjustment in games? Like, who's telling Cat how to play defense here? I mean, look, I love Jalen Brunson. The biggest issue with me with Jalen Brunson with the Knicks is this, okay? He's a great point guard, but it takes him like 10 to 20 dribbles to get to the rim. He's not one of these guys that's breaking the defense down in a beeline to the rim and forcing these guys to collapse where he can kick out to these guys and make shots. It's just too much ball dominant dribble while he is attacking the rim. And I hate to sound like I'm knocking the guy.
No, I get it.
Love every minute of what
he's doing. And he's not a tremendous defender either. I mean, they don't have
exactly.
That's just the truth. He's a killer and he gets to the basket. You're right. I mean, he's not a physical specimen that can get to the basket in 3 steps. You know, I mean, it does take a lot of dribbling. He's not, you know, he's not long. He's not tall. Like, it does take some dribbling to get to the basket. I hear you on that. I still think it's enough to do a little bit more dribbling kick, though. I'd like to see more of that. You're right. There's not much of that. And Karl Anthony Towns, I thought over the course of the year, has played better and tougher defense than he has at times. Particularly his bad games. I mean, he's played terribly against Boston. He just has. I don't care if he scored 24 points in this game. When the game was on the line in the first quarter, he was nowhere to be found. Wasn't playing defense, didn't score a point. I mean, you got to come out and make a statement. And I don't even know if I agree. And I'm upset with them today, too. I don't even know if I agree that they're not as fun to watch. They've been fun to watch at times this year. Like, it's a different watch. But they are the second best team offensively in the league at scoring. Like, they score points. They can be fun to watch. But I agree with you. I mean, Tibbs, and particularly, like, it's one thing just to have, like, and I get it. Your two best players aren't very good defensively. OG Anunoby's been out, and he's looked a step and a half slow for the last 2 months, even before he got hurt. Bridges doesn't seem to be the same kind of player he was with Brooklyn or Phoenix. So, like, they don't have a lot of great defenders on the floor. I get that. I know this team isn't going to be a great defensive team. It's going to be very tough. You know, the magic of Tibbs can't create good defenders. So, like, we knew going in this team wasn't going to be as good defensively, especially without Mitchell Robinson. Like, you're hoping he can come back and help you a little bit. But the issue is, against the Boston Celtics, they've gotten their asses kicked, and it looks exactly the same. Like, it's not like they've come in and, whoa, all right, they've thrown something completely different at the Celtics, and it didn't matter. The Celtics are just too good. They've run the games look exactly the same. There is no, they've done nothing different. They've played Boston the exact same way. You mentioned the drop back defense on the screens. They don't fight through screens. They play the drop back, and it leads to open shots and drives to the basket. Like, it's just been the same thing. Bad shots lead to bad transition defense, lead to points and easy baskets for Boston. It's looked exactly the same. You could have put on that game 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night, and you could have put on yesterday's game at 1 o'clock and watched it, and it's exactly the same. Tibbs has got to do a better job of at least matchups against a certain team. Like, how many times do you have to play Boston before you get a different defensive game plan? Like, I know he's not the reason. You know, I know he can't have them make shots. Like, I get that. I understand that to start the game, you know, Karl Anthony Towns missed everything. Bridges missed everything. OG Anunoby looks slow. And Josh Hart's coming back from a knee injury. And he actually played probably the best game of any Knick. Now, even McBride, who came in, I thought gave the team a little bit of a spark, is 1-for-7 from the floor and 0-for-4 from 3. Like, he plays with a determination that I think the team is lacking, but still, I mean, I understand the coach can't make shots. And ultimately, and the broadcast was talking about this a little bit, I rewatched it best I could after I was doing the show live during the game. Like, they were talking about their inability to make shots. Like, they come and play the Boston Celtics, and they don't hit their shots. And that's who this team is, plain and simple. In one thing I can tell you about the defense, and you're not wrong, I'm not wrong, the defense is an issue. But we know what the strength of this team is. They come in and they don't shoot well against Boston. They got to score. You want to beat Boston, you got to put up 130 points. That's a hard thing to do four times in a series for sure, but can you do it once? Can you make the Celtics sweat once? Can you take it to Boston to start the game once? They come out and look timid. And the shots aren't falling, and they know they're going to get their ass kicked. That's what it feels like. It feels like they start the game, the first couple shots don't fall, they don't defend well, and everybody in the building knows how this game is going, including and most of all, the New York Knicks. Ray in Brooklyn, what's up, Ray?
Hey, C-Mac, good to talk to you again. I was talking to you earlier.
A mere 12 hours ago.
We agreed wholeheartedly on the stupid conversation about the Yankee facial hair. And yes. Then I was starting to get into the Knicks where you got to break the news about OG and Hart playing.
Yep.
So if you just allow me to vent here a little bit about these Knicks, I'm as big a Knicks fan as I am Yankee fan. So, but first, I remember, you know, and I'm glad that you're starting to realize, even though I love Cat just like you do, I pushed back a little bit like a month or two ago when you said he was he was the better player or more important to the
team. Important.
And now, right, and now we see that in these big games, he does not show up for the first quarters or second quarters. Jalen Brunson is the only dog that we have remaining from last year's team with the grit, the 1-2 and everything else. And he shows up. He scores 16 against Cleveland in the first quarter to keep us connected. He scores, 9 today in the first. So it's not even close. And I do think the Knicks are way more talented than last year. However, it doesn't make them a better team.
No.
Because let me tell you, and, you know, I would trend Randall for Cat all day. But, man, we miss Devo and Hartenstein. And I know we can't do anything about Hartenstein, but let me ask you this question, C-Mac. I got a trade, right? I'm a big Deuce guy. He's got, you know, this great contract, and every other team is going to want that. And DiVincenzo will be available for trade for the Knicks after this season. I know we don't want to get to after the season yet, but we all seem to think we're not winning it this year anyway. But so would you trade? Would you just to get some of that dog back, some of that attitude, some of that F you, I'm going to go get it from you. Would you trade Deuce McBride for Dante DiVincenzo? Because I would in a heart, in a blink of an eye, I would. Just to recapture some of that, you know, what we had last year. The guy's one of the smallest guys on the court besides Brunson. And he and Brunson were the two toughest guys on the team. Not named Isaiah Hartenstein. But like I said, we can't do anything about Hartenstein. And as far, I'm going to finish venting with this, C-Mac. Look, I'm not totally happy with Mikal Bridges, but he makes half the money of OG Anunoby. And OG Anunoby is the biggest B on this team. And I think you know what that stands for. Like, the guy is soft. After November, when he was great, he hasn't showed up at all. It's low-hanging fruit to kill Mikal Bridges, who makes half his money and is going to give us a discount when the time comes where he already said it. I would try to move off of that huge contract with Anunoby while he still has his reputation for being a great defender, which he isn't. And he's way less versatile offensively and doesn't have the bag that Mikal does. Yeah. And, you know, I would bring in Devo, and I would try to get a reliable, healthy big man for Anunoby, and we would still have, you know, a good team and a good perimeter defender, Mikal Bridges, hopefully. And we would have, I think that would solve some of our problems, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Certainly he makes more money, but the reason you get on Mikal Bridges is it costs you 5 first-round picks, and you thought that was the answer. You thought he was going to be a difference maker for this team. And to be fair with OG Anunoby, he's been a difference maker for this team. I don't think you're wrong on what you're saying right now. I thought to start the year, he looked like an all-star. And it just hasn't been the same. And I agree with you. He can't create his own shot. He doesn't really get to the basket much. He doesn't really have good hands around the basket unless it's a wide-open dunk. He hits the corner three, and he's supposed to be a great defender, and we haven't seen that from him for a while now. But he did make it. I mean, the trade initially last year, we saw the huge difference he made. Now, I know that's last year's team. And then the start of this year, I thought he was playing really good basketball. And I thought Karl Anthony Towns and his ability to space the floor was helping create OG Anunoby becoming someone who might be able to be an offensive player who can create his own shots. And then, you know, I don't know if he's been dealing with something other than just the sprained foot, but he's looked exhausted. He looked a step slow. And again, he's just coming back, so I want to give him a bit of a slack. But I understand he's making more money. I get that. But Bridges was supposed to be someone who came in here as, you know, a major piece that was going to be the third best scorer on the team and change who they were offensively. And add another big time. I mean, they traded 5 first-round picks for him. I know he's not making the money, but he's got to be better than this. He's got to be better than this. And at least we've seen it from OG in a Nick uniform. We have not seen it from Bridges. But to your point, I think when I say Karl Anthony Towns is the most important Nick, I don't know if today's game makes my opinion any less valid. When he doesn't score a point in the first quarter, they get blown out. Like, he is important. I'm not saying he's the best, Nick. I'm saying he's important to the team. He's got to be at his best if they're going to win this game, and he has not played well against Boston. I don't care that he scored 24 points in this game and ended up, you know, I mean, he got 18 rebounds. He scored 24 points. He was 3-for-4 from three-point land, 9-for-20 from the field. 5 offensive rebounds, like a -1 plus differential when, you know, other guys like Mikal Bridges were -23. So, I mean, ultimately, you look at the overall stats and you'll say, well, Karl Anthony Towns wasn't that bad. Why are you picking on Karl Anthony Towns? 0 points in the first quarter when the game was decided. 0 points when it was time to come out and show who the Knicks are. 0 points when you had to be fed up with getting your ass kicked by Boston and Cleveland and Oklahoma City. Like, come out and make a statement in the first quarter, and they got their doors blown off him, and he scored 0 points. The rest of the game, he was better. In the second half, he was better. Doesn't change the fact that by that point, it was too late. Andrew in Brooklyn. What's up, Andrew?
C-Mac, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You know, a little bit with the Knicks. You go get Mikal Bridges. You trade, as we mentioned, the 5 first-round draft picks. You're telling me, what you're telling me is that you're going for it, right?
Yep.
I don't think, if you watch a ball consistently, it didn't take a rocket science to see, especially when they play the Cavs, the Celtics, especially the couple games with OKC. They had to make a move. Listen, the Cavs are the best team in the league right now, one of the best teams in the league right now, and they went out and got DeAndre Hunter. They gave up. Yep. They gave up Caris LeVert. I felt the Knicks needed that type of player more so than the Cavs did, because you can see what's going on. The reason OKC is one of the best defensive 3-point teams in the league is because they have like 8-9 guys that they interchange that could run you off the key.
Yeah.
The Knicks all season, and you know what? Maybe it's a Tibbs thing. Maybe he's changed his philosophy, but they're going to have to do a trade-off before the playoffs start. They're going to have to figure out something, because they're not going to win. They can't beat the Celtics or the Cavs playing these guys all these minutes, because they're not going to run anybody off the three-point line. They just don't have the personnel to do it. So it's I don't know what they're going to do. And like you said, Mitchell Robinson is not going to run anybody off the 3-point line.
No.
That's not going to be the problem was they did, for me, they didn't do enough at the deadline.
They had to get
Dolian Wright, I think that's his name. That's who they got.
Wow.
Dolian Wright. But my thing is, they needed that 6'8" guy that every other team has. That's a two-way player, that another one that could just run you off the key, and they didn't do it. So they are what they are. They're closer to the 4, 5, 6, and look at the Pistons, 60. They're closer to those teams as opposed to the Celtics and the Cavs. Thanks for the time.
No, you got it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They are. The Pistons are closer to the Knicks than the Knicks are to the Celtics. I think that's fair right now. At least it feels that way. And the Knicks aren't a very fast team. They don't have a lot of speed. I think they could play... They would do themselves a service by playing a little bit faster at times, because I actually think their transition offense can be dynamic with the players they have, but there's not a lot of speed, and right now they don't defend the three-point line well at all. OG has not been the same player for the last month, more than that, and certainly he's been out for a while, and Mikal Bridges hasn't looked like the same player he was in Brooklyn. And Josh Hart and Karl Anthony Towns aren't great defenders. So you're relying on, you know, Hart, and you're relying, and again, we know what the bench minutes are, and they didn't do anything at the trade deadline to help improve this team. They didn't. And like, they're just not good enough, but it's not even just that they're not good enough. Like, I could live with, hey, there's a better team out there. Hey, the Boston Celtics are better. I could live with that. To me, it's the effort level. It's the not changing the defensive game plan. It's not showing up in these games. It's not, you know, it's allowing the Boston Celtics to jump on them early and set the tone. Like, the first quarters of these games have been terrible, and the body language has been terrible. There was no extra, this is not going to go the way it's gone. Like, there had to be that feeling. I wanted to see that. I talked about that today at 12, or yesterday at noon, but leading into the game. I wasn't sure Hart was going to play at the time. I wasn't sure that OG Anunoby was going to be in the lineup at the time. And I didn't even care about that. And all the things I'm complaining about, I specifically said, I don't even want to hear about that. It's not about Karl Anthony Towns. It's not about Mikal Bridges and his inability to shoot the three right now or score, or whether they traded 5 picks for him or not. This is a game that I don't care who's on the floor. The New York Knicks need to show up, and Thibodeau has to have them playing with this mentality of, this ain't happening again. And instead, the first quarter was the exact opposite. The first quarter was, well, listen, there's nothing we can do to stop it from happening again. And that's what it felt like.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So the other basketball team that played yesterday around here, the St. John's Red Storm, took care of UConn for the second time this season. 89-75, and they started the game completely differently as the Knicks, as they ran, you know, they got out to an early start. They outscored Connecticut 50-32 in the first half and absolutely came out and ran all over them. And right now they are 24-4, 15-2 in the conference. I believe they are a one win away from securing no worse than a tie for the regular season Big East championship, which they haven't had since, what was it, 84, 86? Like, I mean, we're talking about 40 years, man. That's crazy. And right now, the way they're playing, and here's the key, man, and it's very simple, right? It's very simple with this team and what Rick Pitino is doing with these guys and the effort level in which they give and the confidence that they continue to build here. It's about hitting threes. Like, that's really it. Like, just watching the team play over the last couple of weeks, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't focused on them prior to the last couple of weeks. I've watched games here or there, but I've been focusing on them the last couple of weeks. The way they play defense, the effort that they show, they are a very difficult team to play. They are one of those teams that they're in your face as soon as you cross the half court line. They are in your face. They are very difficult to play. They're long. They rebound. They hustle. They create turnovers. They are a very difficult team to play. They are a good, solid basketball team, but their issue has been shooting the ball. Rick Pitino's talked about it. He's talked about his team's confidence in shooting the basketball and how, you know, he's getting on them for not shooting open shots and looking for the extra pass and being afraid of missing shots. And that's kind of been his message to his team. And yesterday, as they scored 89 points and took it to the Huskies, they shot 42% from three and 77 from the free throw line and 46.9 from the floor. I mean, you could see maybe a couple of those numbers step up a little bit, but if they can play defense, you know, play D, shoot the three. I mean, if they're going to shoot at a 42% clip, they're a dangerous basketball team. Plain and simple, they're a dangerous basketball team. I mean, and you're looking at a possible and most likely Big East regular season championship. We'll see what they can do in the tournament. I think they're the best team in the conference. And then you get to the tournament, and they're probably going to be a three seed. And right now, I mean, Pitino, who is proving yet again, I mean, these guys, when you're one of these guys, I mean, it's just, you're a proven winner wherever you go. Rick Pitino is one of the greatest coaches in basketball history. Forget college basketball. He's one of the greatest coaches in basketball history. And the turnaround he's had here with the Johnnies, and in 1 year, has turned them into a force and one of the more intense teams to watch play basketball. Now, are they as good as, you know, are they good enough to win a national championship? Are they as good as Auburn, who's the number one team in the country right now? Are they as good as Duke? I don't know. But I can tell you that nobody plays harder. I can tell you they're as good a defensive team as there is in the country, at least from watching them. And the effort they give is second to none. So, I mean, listen, the UConn's not the same team. I get it. UConn's 18-9, 10-6 in the conference, back-to-back champions, but they are not the same team they were, certainly last year, even 2 years ago, obviously. But still, to make a statement like this after beating them 2 weeks ago, making a statement like this, you know, this is a big win. And I think let me check the schedule, because they've got, Butler coming up, Seton Hall, and Marquette. And the game against Marquette a couple weeks ago was a huge game as well. They took down Marquette, they took down UConn, they lost to Villanova, they followed it up with rebounding against Creighton, they blew out DePaul, they just beat UConn 89-75. They've shot the basketball much better, and now they have three games left. They've got Butler on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Next Saturday, Seton Hall at 2:15, and then they wrap it up with Marquette. If they win out, I believe they secure the Big East regular season championship. They'll be the one seed, obviously, in the Big East tournament. And I would think as long as they don't get embarrassed and have a bad loss to start the Big East, you're looking at a three seed. And hopefully they can avoid Auburn and Duke in the bracket, because other than them, like right now, Rick Pitino has just turned this thing around. This is the kind of coaching job. I saw BT put out that he's the best coach in college basketball history, that he's better than Wooden, he's better than, he's better than Knight, he's better than everybody. I don't know if you can go there, but this is the kind of coaching job that really solidifies. I mean, a guy who's obviously dealt with a bunch of different scandals, whether it's his infidelities, which is personal, shouldn't necessarily matter with his coaching ability, but then obviously the scandal at Louisville and everything that comes with college athletics. But I mean, this guy, everywhere he goes, other than, some stops in the NBA, everywhere in college basketball he goes, he immediately turns that team into a Final Four contender. And the turnaround for a St. John's program, I mean, he's doing things already in year two we haven't seen in 40 years. It is a remarkable story, and watching them play is a pleasure. Watching the intensity, watching the defense, and if they're going to hit threes, I mean, we'll see, right? I think they got one of their better shooters back from injury over the last week, and it's shown, and right now they are, last night, 42%. If they can shoot 40% from the three-point line, that's a dangerous basketball team. There's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. You take your phone calls going forward. We can talk Knicks. We'll talk Johnny's. We'll get into baseball as we get through the show as well. As a perfect day on Saturday for the New York Mets, as Juan Soto homers, and more important than that, Clay Holmes was incredible for the first three innings of his Met tenure. And Clay Holmes is one of those guys, we'll get into this a little bit, Clay Holmes is one of those guys that you could point to as a Met fan and say, as he goes, the season goes. Because if he is legitimately a solid to better than average starting pitcher, that rotation is a lot better than we think it is. So there's Clay Holmes, there's the home run, there's the Madrigal injury in the rest of this roster spot for the Mets, and of course the Yankees are not going to play New York after losses. No beard, the damn thing is falling apart. What happened to tradition? Who are these Yankees?